For the purpose of the webcast, it's Wednesday the 9th of October 2019. My name's Mark Jide on the Father Heart TV webcast, and we're just continuing our series of looking at some of the important foundational topics for us to get to know God as Father. And I think this is the fifth one in the series. And what I want to talk about tonight is, as you can see on the screen, is forgiveness from the heart. Now, normally when we do this on an A school, I would take a whole morning, two sessions, and really at the second part, get you very actively involved on a personal level. We don't have time to do that this evening on the webcast, but it may be something, if you feel that the Father is speaking to you about this whole topic of forgiveness, and as I'm speaking, there's something inside of you that knows that you actually need to engage with this personally, then at the end I will be giving you a few pointers of what you can do in order to sort of lead yourself in that process of forgiveness. But forgiveness is something that is really talked about a lot, but not many people really sort of talk about forgiveness from the heart. And that's what I want to do today, because that's what Jesus talks about when he talks about forgiveness, is forgiveness from the heart. See, many of us think that forgiveness is a decision, it's a choice we make in our minds. And once we've made the right choice, then forgiveness automatically flows. Well, we'll be seeing a little bit later that actually is not the case. And true forgiveness is something that comes from our heart and is something that is a little bit more challenging, perhaps, than simply making a decision. Forgiveness is really, really important. It's, unforgiveness is one of the big, big blockages for us to receive the love of the Father. And as we forgive, that blockage is moved out of the way, and our heart becomes open, and we're much more able to receive the love of the Father. And it's really, really one of the most important issues I think we have to face, we have to deal with. But it's also one of the things that brings incredible freedom. When we know that we've forgiven somebody from our heart is set free. It comes alive. It's incredibly powerful. And that's why I want, just at the end of this talk, is to point you in the right direction, where hopefully you'll be able to go on and be able to forgive and engage with that whole process of forgiveness yourself, because it really, really is something important. I want to start in Psalm 130. Psalm 130, verses 3 to 4. It says, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are to be feared." The Passion Translation says, "Lord, if you measured us and marked us with our sins, who would ever have their prayers answered? But your forgiving love is what makes you so wonderful. No wonder you're loved and worshipped." It just catches it, doesn't it? Your forgiving love is what makes you so wonderful. See, the act of forgiveness is powerful. We know from our own experience that we've had our sins forgiven. And, we know what that act of forgiveness has done to us. It's given us eternal life. It's brought us into the kingdom, of Jesus, Jesus's kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's an incredibly powerful thing that if someone is able to forgive, you can see why that person is held in awe and worshipped, because they've actually given freedom to someone. And that's what God the Father did for each one of us through the blood of Jesus, through the forgiveness of our sins. He gave each one of us freedom. I like the way the Message translation puts it. It says, forgiveness is your habit. That's why you're worshipped. You know, God can't help himself. Because he is so loving, forgiveness just flows out of him. And I really believe that if we are to walk as Jesus walked, and if we are to live like Jesus lived, then forgiveness will become a habit for us as well. See, the message there says, forgiveness is your habit. And I believe this is a habit that the Father wants us to have as well, so that we become a forgiving people. Yeah, very often when we talk about forgiveness for the first time, we have to look back into our past, and we have to start, dealing with a lot of historical forgiveness. But I do believe there is a time when that all catches up with us, and we can actually live in the present of being able to forgive and release people for the offences that they cause us, as they happen, rather than letting them accumulate and us having this sort of big backlog of things that we have to deal with. But maybe if we're coming to this for the first time, we know there's a lot of stuff in our history that we might need to look at, we might need to forgive people for. But as forgiveness becomes a habit to us, I do hope and pray that we can kind of get to the place where we're able to forgive and live in forgiveness for all of the offences that happen, each and every day. At the end of Psalm 130, in verse 7, it says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. See, forgiveness brings total redemption. We've experienced that in our own lives, that we've been redeemed and we've been bought back and placed once again in the Father's family. See, our redemption has been total and complete. And I believe as we go through this process of being able to forgive, that we will discover a greater level of redemption in our own hearts, but we might also see those people that we are forgiving being redeemed themselves. Because this is one of the fruits, if you like, of forgiveness. It brings full redemption. It's a generous redemption. The New Living Translation says an overflowing supply of salvation. And, I believe we will be able to see that in our own lives when we learn to truly forgive from the heart. See, true forgiveness comes from a heart of love, because we want to release those people that have wronged us. We want freedom for our own hearts, of course, but we also want to release those people who've wronged us, that we're actually holding. We're holding them in a grip, and that grip is the grip of unforgiveness. And as we are able to forgive, we're able to let them go. And so really, true forgiveness, it can only come out of love. Because it's an expression of the Father's heart. And, it's something I really believe that as we learn to forgive, it does open our heart up in a greater way. And it leads to us entering into so much more freedom. Now, before I get into the bulk of what I want to say, I just want to touch on a couple of things that I think occasionally give us perhaps problems. One of them is we often talk about being able to forgive ourselves. Maybe our own stupidity, or, we've done something wrong, and it's kind of like we feel we have to forgive ourselves for those things. And that's It's actually not anywhere in the Bible does it say we have to forgive ourselves, which is interesting because a lot of people make a big thing of it. And I kind of understand why, but the Bible doesn't mention forgiving yourself anywhere. And the thing about forgiving ourselves is it puts the onus on us. You know, if I have to forgive myself, if I don't feel like forgiving myself, then I'm not going to be forgiven. If I do feel like forgiving myself today, then maybe I'll find some measure of freedom. But if tomorrow I don't feel the same way, then, you know, it's a bit up and down. It's a bit hit and miss. And the thing is, if I have to forgive myself, it makes it conditional on me. And forgiveness, the forgiveness that we're talking about, the Father's forgiveness of us is never conditional. So I think what people are really saying when they say, I've got to forgive myself, I think what they're saying is that they've been unable to receive the forgiveness that the Father is giving them or that other people are giving them. You see, in the Bible, it only talks about forgiveness in two contexts. The first one is God forgiving us, and the second one is us forgiving other people or other people forgiving us. It doesn't mention us forgiving ourselves. And I think the reason we use that terminology is what we're trying to do is really receive forgiveness ourselves. I think we're talking about the same thing, but I think it's just the different words we use. And so I rather would talk about receiving forgiveness because that's actually more biblical. I think one of the other issues that we have is, you know, people often ask me this is, well, do I have to forgive God? You know, stuff's happened in my life. I'm blaming God. Do I have to forgive God? Of course, stuff does happen in our lives and things do go wrong. But my question back to people is, well, has God done anything wrong? And of course, the answer is no. So I don't think we do need to forgive God. I think we need to look and say, well, who do we need to forgive? And then engage in this process that I want to talk a little bit about this evening. One of the other things I just want to mention before I get into that is that in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, it says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you. And I think we can read that, and in reading it, it almost makes it sound as if the Father's love is conditional, that he will only forgive us if we do something. And of course, that's not right, is it? Because his forgiveness of us is unconditional. I think what those verses mean, and this is just my opinion, so, you know, do with it what you will. But my opinion is that if we are unable to forgive, then part of our heart will remain closed. And if part of our heart is closed, we will be unable to receive the forgiveness that the Father wants to give us. See, his forgiveness, I just want to underline it. His forgiveness is never conditional. But if we're unable to forgive, then our heart is closed. And that prevents our heart from being open to receive what he wants to pour in. So I like just to mention those little conflicts, if you like, to get them out of the way so we can get into the sort of the main content and really focus on looking at our hearts rather than trying to sort of deal with some perhaps sort of theological questions or something. But because really what I want to do in these next few minutes is for us to engage with our hearts and look into our hearts and see where there are areas of unforgiveness, because it is one of the greatest hindrances for us receiving the Father's love. See, all of us have been wounded, and We've all been hurt, and mostly those hurts and those wounds have been caused within our families. See, God created the family and he meant it to be a place of love and acceptance and comfort. But we all know that our parents have hurt us and wounded us in many, many different ways. And some of those childhood wounds are our deepest wounds. Maybe our boss or our school teachers, maybe other friends or maybe people in the church have hurt and wounded us as well. And we may have to forgive them. But I really believe that our major wounds of our heart are those childhood ones that have been caused principally by our parents. So when I talk about forgiveness today, I'm really going to be focusing in on our families, on our mothers and fathers. But if the Holy Spirit just brings someone else to mind, then, obviously feel free to engage with that. But, it's our families, I think, where we've received a lot of the pain, a lot of the rejection, a lot of the hurt that's really just come down through the generations. Martin Luther, he said this. He said, "I have difficulty praying the Lord's Prayer because whenever I say Our Father, I think of my own father, who was hard, unyielding, and relentless. I cannot help but think of God in the same way." And I think that really puts words to what a lot of us feel. Because of the way we've been treated and because of the hurts and the pain that we've experienced, we've put a filter in front of the eyes of our heart. So we see God the Father through the filter of our own parents. And like Martin Luther said, I think of God in the same way as I think of my own dad. And that, I think, for many, many people is a reality of where our hearts are at. And until we are able to forgive them from the heart, we will have a closed heart. We will be carrying that pain. We will be carrying that wound. But when we are able to come to that place of forgiving from the heart, we're able to allow those wounds and those hurts to be dealt with. I want to, I think I'll read it actually. It's quite a long passage, but I'm going to read the whole passage. It's a parable that Jesus told his disciples in response to a question that Peter asked him. And I want to read this parable, and then I want to explain it for us. And then after that, I want to give you a few pointers on how you can approach the issue of forgiveness in your own heart with the people who've perhaps hurt and wounded you. So it's Matthew chapter 18, and I'm going to read from verse 21 to the end of the chapter. It's quite a long chunk, but I really would like to read the whole thing so we've got it all in context. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus said, "I tell you, not seven, but 77 times." And then he tells this story. "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. He wasn't able to pay. So the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and everything he had be sold in order to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything.' The master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But that servant went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a few hundred silver coins. He grabbed him, began to choke him, and said, 'Pay back everything you owe me.' The other servant fell to his knees and begged and said, "Please be patient with me and I will pay it back." But the first servant refused. He went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. So the master called the servant in and said, "You wicked servant, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back everything he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. See, Jesus ends up there with those words, "from the heart." That's the key to this whole message, is how can we forgive from the heart? And this story tells us how we can forgive from the heart. Not how we can forgive from the mind by making a decision, but how we can forgive from the heart. Peter comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive my brother?" And I think Peter's being really magnanimous, and he says, "Surely 7 is enough." And Jesus says, no, not 7, but 70 times 7. You see, the number is not relevant. What is relevant is what is going on in our heart. And Jesus told this story in response to Peter's question. And this is really, really important for us to understand, because Peter is the one who has to do the forgiving, right? Peter comes to Jesus and says, "How do I forgive my brother?" He has got a problem. He needs to forgive. And so Jesus tells this story to Peter and the other disciples, and it's showing Peter how he should forgive. Now, in this story, it's the king who does the forgiving. Now, we often talk about this story about Jesus forgiving our sins. And of course, you know, you can use it that way. But this principally, primarily, is a story to Peter on how he can forgive. So as we look at this story in a little bit more detail, we are the king, because we are the ones who have to be doing the forgiving. You know, we are the ones who've got to go through the same process that the king went through, because as we go through that process, it will lead us to the place of being able to forgive from the heart. So this is what the story is about. It's about how to forgive from the heart. And it's the king that is able to do that. And as we look at how we can forgive and how we need to forgive from the heart, we need to look at what the king in this story does, because that will give us the key for us being able to forgive other people. See, one of the key things is in this story is the king, he loved mercy. He wanted to see the guilty go free. He loves to forgive. You know, in Micah 6 verse 8, it says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness or mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." You see, this is about having mercy on someone who has hurt you or wounded you, maybe very, very deeply. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, how can I have mercy on someone who has wounded me so deeply? And this story shows us how. It may not be easy, and I don't pretend it is, but if we can see what the king is doing in this story, and if we're able to do that ourselves, we will find freedom and we will open our hearts up to receive more of the Father's love. See, this is what Jesus was expecting from Peter, And I believe it's what Jesus expects from us as well. Because what we're going to do is we're going to look at people in our own lives that we consider to be guilty. You know, and I'm principally talking about our mothers and fathers. But as I said, it could be anybody else. It could be a teacher. It could be a work colleague, a boss. It could be people in the church. It could be friends. It could be other family members. But, you know, as far as we are concerned, before we forgive them, we see them as being guilty of having committed an offence against us. And we're going to come to the place where, like the king, we can let the guilty go free because of the mercy that is in our hearts. The king in this story was owed a huge amount of money by the servant. It was such a large amount of money, there was absolutely no way it could ever be repaid. You know, the servant just had no possibility or no opportunity of being able to repay that debt. You know, it was like, I do have a question. You know, how did the king manage to let it get so big? But that's kind of not in the story, and it's another question altogether. But, you know, the king has had, effectively, he's had something stolen from him. Something's been taken, and he's never going to get it back. It's just impossible. And that's very often what it's like in our own hearts with these pains and these wounds, is we know something has happened, but it's impossible to rewind the clock and live our lives again and for things to be different. You know, we know that those pains and those wounds were very, very real. We know they happened and we can't undo them. And we know who did it to us. And as far as we're concerned, they're guilty. And the first thing the king had to do was he had to know what had been stolen. You know, what had he lost? What was the amount that the servant owed him? You know, he really had to know exactly what had happened. Because you can't forgive from the heart until you really count the cost. Until you absolutely know what you're letting go of. Until you absolutely know what you will never get back. The king had to know what had been taken. He had to count the cost and then he had to write it off. He had to cancel it. And he could only cancel it when he knew what it was costing him. See, in my business, if a client doesn't pay me, for whatever reason, I have the choice. Am I going to take them to court to get the money or am I going to write it off? And before I write it off, I look at it and think, that's a lot of money. I could do with that money. But when I decide to write it off, I'm basically saying that I know I will never get that money. And so I put a line through it on my accounts, on our ledger. Well, actually, these days you just press the delete button and it goes. And then it's no longer there. It's no longer money that client owes to me. And that's what the king does. He looks at his ledger and he says, this servant owes me, what was it? He said, this servant owes 10,000 bags of gold. And the king thinks, I could do with that 10,000 bags of gold, but I'm not going to get it. So he puts a line through it. And as far as the king is concerned, from that moment onwards, that servant does not owe him 10,000 bags of gold. That's 10,000 bags of gold the king is never going to get back. But he has to make that decision. He has to say, what have I lost? And am I prepared never to get it back? And it's only when he gets to that place of knowing what's been stolen and making the decision to let it go, that's forgiveness. That's when he has mercy on the servant. And that's what I believe we have to do when we look at this whole issue of forgiveness or unforgiveness in our hearts. We have to look at what has been stolen from us. What has been taken from us? What What effect have those wounds and those hurts had on our lives? And we really, and it's actually very, very painful to look at that and say, that's, you know, this is what I should have had, but I'm never going to get it. And, you know, I know that something's been taken from me. Something was robbed out of my childhood, and I'm never going to get it back. And that can be a very, very painful process to go through. But if we can do what the king has done here and look at what's been taken, look at what's been stolen, and then cancel it, knowing that there is no chance of repayment, there's no control or manipulation to get it back, the debt no longer exists. It's been cancelled. See, we may never get back what's been stolen from us. You know, we can't relive our childhood and have it perfect. You know, those things happened for whatever reason they happened, and we cannot undo it. And this is the process of forgiveness, is saying, this is what happened. I can't make it any different, but I choose not to hold that against that person anymore. And the reason the king was able to have mercy on his servant, and this is really important for us, is the king looked at his servant and he sees the servant and he sees the servant's family and the children and everything. He knows he's never going to get his money back. And he knows there's nothing that can be done about it. And he knows he can throw the guy in prison, but it's not really going to change anything. But in that moment, he looks on his servant with compassion and pity. And that's, I think, the key to being able to forgive from the heart. Is, can we look at our mothers? Can we look at our fathers? And can we look at them with the eyes of compassion and pity? Because if we can, then we can forgive from the heart. I'll look at the opposite in a minute when we look at the response of the servant. But the king looked at his servant and he had compassion on him. And because he had compassion, because he had mercy in his heart, he was able to let it go. And I think it's a big challenge for us to look with the eyes of pity and compassion on our parents who have wronged us and hurt us so much. And maybe the pain is very, very deep. And maybe it was wrong. Maybe it was unjustified. Maybe they did it deliberately. And, you know, everything in us says, what about justice? Well, forgiveness is not about justice. It's about mercy. And if we're to forgive, then we have to put justice to one side. And we have to have the eyes of compassion and pity that will want to have mercy on someone who's wronged us so much. And that's what the king did. He looked with compassion and pity on his servant, and he was able to let it go. When we can forgive like that, it will bring the full redemption that I was talking about earlier. See, the king wanted his servant to be free. He didn't want to see him in prison. He wanted him to be free. And my question has to be, do we want those who have wronged us to be free? Because forgiveness from the heart is so powerful that not only do we find freedom, but very often the people we forgive will find freedom as well. And sometimes that happens across countries, it happens across, you know, across time and space. And you know, we hear later on about how someone has changed when we forgave them and we've had no contact with them. I've heard so many stories like that of people who've forgiven their parents and their parents have begun to change from that moment onwards. Nothing was said, but something happens in the spirit. And the king in our story wanted his servant to be free. And my question is, do you want those people who've wronged you to be free, as well as yourself being free? You know, we don't want them to feel bad. We don't want them to feel guilty. We don't want them to feel they owe us anything. We just want to be able to bless them and release them. Forgiveness from the heart is that strong in our hearts. See, that's what forgiveness from the heart looks like. That's why Jesus told a story. He showed us how to forgive from the heart. Counting the cost, wanting to have compassion and pity so that we're able to cancel the debt and be able to say to people, you owe me nothing. That's what heart forgiveness is. The second part of the story is what happens when we're not able to forgive from the heart. See, this servant who'd been forgiven so much, he goes out from the king, he's free, he's been forgiven. He doesn't have to find 10,000 bags of gold. And then he runs into another servant who owes him hardly anything. And he grabs him by the throat and he starts to throttle him and he says, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me. And that's what it's like. When we don't forgive, it's like we've got our hands round that other person's neck and we are so angry and we are so bitter with them. They may not be anywhere near us. They may not feel anything. They may be totally out of the situation. But as far as we're concerned, we've got this person by the neck and we want justice. You know, we want to be repaid. That's what this servant did. He couldn't forgive. Even though he'd been forgiven, he was unable to forgive his fellow servant. And it's like he was so angry and bitter, holding his other servant by the neck. You see, he didn't want his fellow servant to be free, as he'd been set free himself. See, in seeking repayment, it wasn't the other servant who ended up in prison. It was the first servant who ended up in prison. And if we cannot forgive from our hearts like the king forgave in this story, then Jesus says we will end up in prison. If we are unable to forgive, we will be like this servant. We won't be like the king. We'll be like this servant. We will be in prison. See, what we want for other people, we want mercy for ourselves, but we want judgment for other people. And it's only when we can come to the place of wanting the same mercy for other people that we've received that we can forgive from the heart. And if we don't have that mercy, then we will... See, that servant, the second servant went free because, the other people went and told the king. And it was the first servant who ended up in prison. And if we don't forgive, if we can't forgive, then we will be in prison. It will be like we are being tormented and tortured, Jesus says. That's how strong it is that... This bitterness and this anger will work on inside of our hearts and it will just wreck us. It will be like we're being tortured. But if we can be like the king and have mercy and compassion, then we can see the guilty go free. That's what heart forgiveness is. It's having mercy and compassion and seeing the guilty go free. I just want to take a few moments to look at this whole issue of counting the cost. Because this is something that we would do and we would take quite a bit of time to do on our Father Heart schools. I would actually take a whole session. Well, I would give people a session to really look at this issue of what they've lost so that they can really look into their heart and ask the Holy Spirit to, you know, bring things to mind and then for them to perhaps write a list of those things that have been stolen from them and, you know, the things they've lost. And then coming to that place of finding the Father's mercy and the Father's compassion in order to see them go, in order to see freedom come. And it's really kind of important that we're able to understand what we've lost. And I was thinking about this one day, and I was asking the Father, and I was saying, Father, How do we know what we've lost? How do we know what we've lost? How do we know what's been stolen from us? And I felt him say, you've lost the opposite of how you feel. You've lost the opposite of how you feel. So if we can identify how we feel, and I'll give you some examples in a minute. You know, if we can identify how we feel about something or someone, and then identify the opposite emotion, that's what we've lost. And that's what we can't get back, because that's what was stolen, and that's the debt that we've got to cancel and write off. And that's the debt that we've got to ask the Father for compassion and pity and mercy for. So it's really trying to recognize, I suppose, what bit of our heart has been ripped out of us, that we'll never get back, even if it was our right. But, you know, it's trying to recognize what's been ripped out of us so we can let it go. And as we let it go, we open our hearts up to receive the Father's love into our hearts. You see, a lot of the things that we've lost, they were our right for us to have. You know, it was our right, really, to have been brought up in a home that was full of love and compassion and comfort and kindness and gentleness. Many of us haven't had that. You know, we've lost something that was our right. But you see, one of the things I think, when we begin to have compassion and pity on people, we actually begin to see that our parents didn't receive the love they needed because our grandparents weren't able to give it them. And, you know, it goes right back to Adam. And our parents weren't able to give us what we needed. They just didn't have the capacity to give us what we needed because they themselves hadn't received what they needed. And I think when we see it like that, that kind of helps us, you know, asking for compassion and mercy and pity. So let me just give you a few examples of, I think, when I say we've lost the opposite of how we feel. So let me give you, I've got a whole list in here, but I'll just give you a few. If we feel anger, you know, like people, you know, anger inside of us towards other people, what we've lost is affection. If we feel abandoned, we've lost that sense of being cherished. If we feel confused in our heart, we've lost that sense of sort of clarity. If we feel depressed, the opposite, I believe, is that happiness of loving life, you know, being in love with life. If we feel devastated, we've lost the opposite of that sense of being complete and whole. If we feel fear, we've lost the opposite, which is hope and love. If we feel frustrated, we've lost the opposite, which is contentment. You know, maybe we feel obsessed, we've lost the opposite, which is that life of freedom, that easygoing life. You know, if we feel a poverty inside of our hearts, we've lost that sense of wealth and abundance that comes from the Father. If we feel rejection, we've lost that sense of support and welcome and acceptance. If we feel terror, we've lost the opposite, which is peace and love. If we feel ugly, and that's a big issue for many, many people. If we feel ugly because of what people have said to us or what people have done to us, you know, and that's something that's settled in our hearts. What we've lost is that sense of beauty, being made in the Father's image. If we feel worthless, we've lost that sense of worthiness, appreciation, admiration. You see that? They're just a few things that I believe that illustrate some of the things we've lost. And I would encourage you to just take a look at how you feel, and then just ask the Holy Spirit to show you what the opposite is, because that's what you've lost. Maybe you need to sit quietly for some time and just look at your relationship with your mother and your father, and perhaps how they've hurt you, how they've wounded you. Maybe they abandoned you. Maybe they abused you. And just identify in your own heart that sense of loss. And then ask the Father, ask the Holy Spirit to give you his mercy and his compassion and pity so that you can see the guilty go free. So that you can, instead of holding them round the neck, trying to strangle them, you can let them go. And as you let them go, you will find freedom. Jack Winter said one time, he said, bitterness is a poison pill that we swallow, thinking that it will kill the other person. Bitterness is a poison pill that we swallow, thinking it will kill the other person. When we are consumed with bitterness and unforgiveness, the only person who really suffers is us. We feel like we're holding someone in a vice grip. They might be totally oblivious and getting on with their lives, but we are so angry and bitter inside. But when we can count the costs, when we can have that compassion and pity, when we can want them to be free, we set ourselves free and we live in glorious freedom. Forgiveness is a process. We forgive as we're able to at this particular point in time. I really do want to encourage you, because I would do this on a school, is to take time to look at this seriously, to look at your relationships with parents, with other people, and see what needs to be forgiven, and then just go through that process, because it will set you free. See, to me, this is about walking as Jesus walked. It's walking in sonship. And Jesus is very, very strong about forgiveness in this story because it's so powerful. He wants us to see the effect and impact that this will have on our lives. See, whilst we have unforgiveness in our hearts, we've created an unhealthy connection with the person who hurt us. And the only way we can be free of that unhealthy connection is to cancel the debt completely and to forgive from the heart. If we are like the servant and unable to forgive, then we will carry that unhealthy connection around and we will not live in freedom. But if we can do what the king did, we will be free. Let me just pray, and then please just take time to really look at this yourself. Maybe take some quiet time over the next few days to look at it. The talk will be online tomorrow, so you can watch it again if you need to. But I believe this is so important for us. So, Father, thank you that you're a forgiving Father, that you've made forgiveness your habit in the way you forgive us. And Father, may we make forgiveness our habit in the way we forgive other people. Father, will you help us to count the cost, to really identify what's been stolen? Father, will you give us that compassion, that mercy that wants to see the guilty go free? And Father, will you help us by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit? Father, will you help us to let it go, knowing that it will never come back? But Father, as we let it go, our heart is open to receive more of your extravagant love. And Father, I just pray that as we forgive, that we would receive your abundant love being poured into our heart. Amen.